Morning. The phrase that I quoted, I trust you believe in that. That Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do we really know what that is? Do we really believe that in our hearts? We had a week of revival meetings last fall. I think the brother has been here as well, Brother Rene Revere. It's an interesting story, at least it is to me, how I first met him, and we won't go into that this morning. But one of the challenges that he left us, that he brought out continuously, do you know God? Do you really know him? And I think that's a very important question for this day that we're living in. If we can just recognize that in this day that we're living in, as well as all time, that what life is really about is about God. He created us, and we fell away, and we departed from God. And then God made a provision through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we could be brought back into a right relationship with him. Do you believe that this morning? And isn't that wonderful and marvelous as we think about that? Well, it's having a brother living here for over 36 years in this community has given us occasions to come visit him occasionally. And so over the last 46 years, we've been here numerous times. And it's always been a blessing and a joy to see you people visit, hear you sing, and hear your testimonies and your life that you live. We trust for the glory of God. That's a blessing. We're also very conscious that in the recent past, several of your own, and I had to think of that song that we sang, I think it was the last song before Sunday school, about abiding, and how God has reached down and taken some of those who love the Lord, who've been living examples here in this community and otherwise, and how he has taken them home to be with him and to be with him forever. And this is not a blessing. And as I thought of that, that's what kingdom building is all about, is that people can come out of sin and darkness and Egypt, which is the type of the world, and come into the marvelous light and life of Jesus Christ and become kingdom builders in this world which we live. And if you spend much time around Ken Miller, you'll hear the word kingdom many times. Not the kingdom of this world, but the kingdom of God. And our purpose and responsibility in sharing the gospel message. Then as I think of that, we are here to build a kingdom. We are brothers and sisters in Christ's kingdom. And the day comes when the death angel comes down and he takes us and takes us into the presence of God for what? Forever. Can we grasp that? In the presence of God forever, with that same Jesus who is yesterday, today, and forever. Can we really grasp that? I think it's been approximately 2 weeks ago, Brother Murray called me and asked if I would preach this morning. And I probably shouldn't tell you what I told him. My wife thinks I, get a little plenty negative sometimes. But I think we should be excited about living for the Lord and preaching the gospel. And immediately, it seemed like there was a scripture that came to my mind. I had preached, I think, maybe one time before, that maybe that's the scripture that I should be using for the morning message. Well, also, last year as well as this year, I have what you call a one-year Bible. And maybe some of you have that as well. And every day you read an Old Testament scripture, a New Testament scripture, a portion in Psalms, and a portion in Proverbs. And so this morning as I was preparing for this message, I brought my one-year Bible along. I'm just a couple days behind right now with traveling and everything. But I wanted to, it's an ESV, and I wanted to see what the ESV would say, read about this portion of Scripture. Now, I want you to know I got a little excited when I turned to my ESV Bible. Is it hurt to be excited around here? If Brother Dan P. would still be living, I believe he'd say amen. But I'll tell you, I got a little excited. I turned to find, beans. I was a little behind, I looked for the scripture that I wanted, and then I looked at the day. Believe it, brothers and sisters, it was a reading for today. I couldn't believe it. How many of you are reading through a one-year Bible? Anybody? Okay. Is any of them ESV? Okay. Did anybody read Psalm 46 this morning? Okay. Nobody did. Let's turn to it. In my Bible, in the ESV, that was the scripture for today, Psalm 46. And that was the very scripture that I was planning on using this morning as a message. Text from a message. Be still and know that I am God. Now, some of you, do you like to be still? I mean just still. We had a dear brother at home. He's not living anymore, but he had a good-sized family. He was, his first wife died, and he married a younger lady, so he had like two sets of children. But he had a reputation in the community there at his job that he was never late, except one time, I think, when he had a flat tire. But he also had the conviction that it's important to be in church on time. And so he would tell his family, now we want to leave at such and such a time. And maybe they weren't cooperating too well, I'm not sure. But one morning he said, I want every one of you to be down in the living room at such and such a time. And so when that time came, they were there. And he said, all right, let's sit down and just sit here until it's time to go to church. I believe that was okay. He was asking his family to be prepared to sit down and be still. And you know, in that time of quietness, I don't know what all took place in their mind, but I think it's a wonderful time as children of God to simply be still and know that I am God. Now, I'd like to read this psalm. Psalm 46, beginning reading in verse 1. And I like my Bible says, confidence which the church has in God. Are you part of the church? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Does that get you excited? We know what trouble is, don't you? You know what it is? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And when we're in trouble, believe me, we like a present help. Not someone that comes 3 hours down the road or 3 hours later, but arrives quickly. When that cell phone rings, we hope they respond and they're there for us. Well, God is. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams wherefore shall make the city of God, shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice. The earth melted. Think about all that took place because of God. We're talking about God this morning. And then he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then verse 8, Selah. Verse 8, come. Behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Talks about the greatness of God here. I don't have it with me. I was wishing I would have brought it along. I just read the other day that I think it was back in 75 when one of the satellites was put in orbit. And today it's still going around. And I forget how many billions of miles it's away. Can you imagine? I can't comprehend that. But I still believe in that there's a God. He's a great God. And he's able to make the heavens that big. Or whatever. And I praise God for that. But it also said, as they take their telescopes or whatever, and they look back at the earth, it's just a little speck. We think it's pretty big, don't we? That's how great our God is. All right, now we'd like to know, look in verse 9 here. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Then in verse 10 he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Does that verse mean something to you? Does this psalm mean something to you? I'll tell you, it's the eternal word of God. Our brother was talking about faith. And that's where our faith needs to be. And I trust where it is. That is in the God that created this huge universe. That men are trying to explain away. But I praise God. He is, he was, and he always will be. Be still and know that I am God. It's been, I think it's been somewhere between 5 and 10 years ago. We had a special service in our congregation one evening, and I have no idea what it was anymore. But a neighbor of ours was there, and I told the congregation that I think it was about 3 benches down on the left-hand side. I was sitting there at the end. After the benediction, this man came and talked to me. Started talking to me. And he said he was just recently reading this psalm about being still and knowing that I am God. And he said that really has spoken to him. And he said it means cutting your television off. Or your radio. Or whatever you have. And simply, you know, turning those things off. So they're not filling your mind and disturbing your mind, disturbing your peace. But then you sit there and you are still. You're quiet before God. And you are asking him to fill your mind and to think about it. And he was just, it was just so encouraging to hear him talk this way. Several weeks later, I came back from delivering a building, I think it was. I walked into my office, and there was a big envelope, real thick. And I opened it up, and it was from this neighbor. And he had handwritten. I think he had a computer, probably a typewriter, but he had handwritten it about this portion of scripture, being still and knowing that I am God. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I ever did read it all. I read some parts of it. And so when this seemed like the Lord prompted me here some time ago to preach on this message, I knew I could walk right up to my file cabinet and reach in and get it and read it, but I couldn't. I haven't been able to find it. So I had to kind of depend on this, the Word of God. And I've been blessed in meditating and thinking upon this, about the importance of being still and knowing that I am God. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to recognize Him as God. And I trust that's our desire this morning, that we recognize that. I like another scripture in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. I wrote this down. I'll read it. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. And isn't that a blessing as we think about that? That's a New Testament scripture that brings this out as well. Do we know God? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable. But God wants us to search His ways. But we can never truly and completely comprehend. Have you ever heard somebody say in studying the Bible, I think I understand this scripture or that scripture. I think I understand what God was trying to say. Well, I read something some time ago, and I wished I knew where it was. But this person, and I appreciated what he had to say. He said, if we ever get to the place that we think we comprehend the ways of God, we are limiting the power and ability of God. And I believe that. You may live to be 1,000 years old. You probably won't. And you may be studying God during all that time, but you are not in any place near understanding the ways of God. We never will, unless we get over there with Him in His presence and we have those abilities because of that relationship, that eternal soul that is within us. And I praise God for that. I think Dale Heisey had meetings here some time ago, I believe. He also had in our congregation, and then from our congregation he went to another state for a week of meetings, and from that state to another state. And of course he came by plane, so he needed a vehicle. And so we had this car. It wasn't new by any means, so we told him he's welcome to use it. And then I apologized. I said there's one thing that doesn't work on that car that maybe you will miss. And I said, that's the tape player or the CD player. It doesn't work. And I just imagined him, you know, driving all by himself, all those miles, wanting to listen to some music or messages or whatever. He said, that's fine. I don't like to listen to those. He said, I just like to meditate as I drive along. And I can somewhat identify with that. And I appreciate that. You know, we have all this modern stuff to listen to, and we are doing something to our minds when we listen to it, especially depending on what it is. And I believe we might as well be honest that there's nothing wrong with gospel music, listening to it, and messages, not at all. But I believe there's nothing wrong in drawing our minds and our hearts to meditation about the things of God. And that's what a blessing that is, if we can think about that. And we're going to be looking at some more scriptures here. And that was a blessing to me, that we somehow need to learn to think about God. I got this statistic some years ago. George Gallup, from Gallup's poll, I think it was in the middle 60s, he spoke in the University of Iowa. And he made this statement. He fears America will literally kill themselves laughing. He said the problem with America is they would much rather be entertained than informed. And he talked about the sports craze in our schools and in our universities and colleges. And he said he's afraid that America will literally kill themselves laughing. We may smile at that, but I'm concerned when I walk up to people sometimes that have their computer on at some of the silly stuff, comics and you name it. You know what's happening? What are we doing with that? It's going somewhere. It's going somewhere. If it goes here, we do something with it. Am I different than you? This morning, be still and know that I am God. A certain historian who's not a Christian, professing Christian, said this: America is the only nation that has not yet been punished by God. Now, someone challenged me on that just the other evening, and he said he was thinking especially about the Civil War and how many thousands and thousands of people were killed. God allowed that for some reason, but I'm certain that was not the will of God. But I believe America is in for judgment. I came across, I'm not sure where I got this, but something that Jonathan Edwards, not real familiar with his writing, but some things he said about this portion of Scripture. The great peacemaker, or the principle of the gospel as our only hope for the total abolition of war. In 46 verse 9, where it says, "He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." Then he says, "Be still and know that I am God." The sole consideration that God is God, sufficient to still all objections to his sovereignty. Jonathan Edwards has 6 points. He says about I am God. In that he is God, he is an absolute and infinitely perfect being. Never lose sight of that. Number two, as he is God, he is so great that he is infinitely above all comprehension. Don't forget that. Number three, as he is God, all things are his own. We're not our own. We were bought with a price. Have we accepted the price? And by the grace of God, live the life. Number four, in that he is God, he is worthy to be sovereign over all things. Number five, in that he is God, he will be sovereign and will act as such. Number six, in that he is God, he is able to avenge all those who oppose his sovereignty. It's going to happen someday. Yes, it will. You know, if we go back to the Old Testament and we read about the journey of Moses delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt in sin and into the promised land that God promised them, there were times when the people would come to Moses and there were some questions and they wanted answers. And in Numbers 9 verse 8, we have one of these answers when Moses did this. Moses would say, "Stand still and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you." How important that is yet today. There was a question in our Sunday school class about us fathers, what our responsibility is, about our authority, about our sternness, about our relationship to the Lord. And I'll tell you this morning, we need to stand still and say, "God, what do you want me to do? How do I face this situation?" It's not wrong to acknowledge to our children that we don't always have the answer, but we'd like to find it by the grace of God. I'd like to turn to Job, chapter 37. Some time ago, I preached on the subject of faithfulness of God. And in my one-year Bible, I don't always get it done, but when I read it, I like to write down or underline faithfulness. This book is filled with the faithfulness of God. And what a blessing it is. And what he's calling us is to follow him and to be faithful by his grace and power and enabling in our life. We don't always make it just right, but he's calling us to follow him and obey him faithfully. Job 37. We're going to begin reading in verse 10. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened. Also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud. He scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned around about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. Isn't that marvelous? He wearies the clouds with what? With rain, with moisture, with snow. And he's in control of all that. He set it in motion, and they respond. And in the same way, God wants to come into this vessels of clay and cleanse us, purge us, and put a new life therein. And then he wants to take glory to himself. For that work in our hearts and our lives, we cannot take any glory of ourselves. But we are to follow him and live for him. And then it says in verse 13, he caused it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the works of God. 3 weeks ago when we went to New York, it was snowing on the way up. We went through the Adirondack Mountains. And I'm not sure if I've ever went through them before, but I've been to mountains. We live in them in Virginia. And they're beautiful. But you know, it had snowed. It was very cold. It was 11 below that morning. As we traveled down that interstate, looked up on the side of those rocky mountains, there was icicles, long ones, thick ones, wide ones. Beautiful. And it wasn't the governor of New York that put him there. It was my father. Your father, I hope. Your God. There is none other that could imitate him. You know, I remember as a young boy, when they start talking about flying to the moon, going to the moon, I heard a lot of people shake their heads. God will never allow that to take place. Never happen. And a few years ago, there was a preacher, by the way. I won't tell you, he was a conservative preacher. He was a beachy preacher over in Ireland. And he said, I still don't believe it. But we had an Amish preacher in our community. He was a very godly man. And I still hear people talk about him today and his life and his testimony. And when they started talking about going to the moon, you know what he said? I think it's so wonderful that God created the earth so exact that man could figure out how to get there. That's a different side of the story, is it not? That has blessed me abundantly. To think about it. He didn't say it could never happen because I can't visualize it. Because I can't make it happen, it's not going to happen. You didn't say that. But he said, I think it's so marvelous that God created the earth so exact that man can figure out how to get there. The glory goes back to God. And that's the only person worthy of glory. So here, Job got a message. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Now, we're not to worship creation. No, we're not. But we are to worship the Creator, God, our Father. And so this morning, what do you see? We have Natural Bridge there close by. A group of young people stopped in one day. This has been when I was a young fellow. And they said, you know, what is it around here to see? And so I told them about Natural Bridge, those huge rocks up there, and how beautiful it is and how marvelous it is. And on the way back, they stopped in again. I said, what did you see? A few old rocks. I saw the handiwork of God. I saw the handiwork of God. Turn with me to Psalm 4. Verses 1 through 8. Hear when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Look at verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness. Put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who shall show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon me. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down to peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I don't know about you, but there's times when I want to pray. And I kneel before the Lord, I bow my head before him, or whatever the method may be. And the first thing I know, there's thoughts and things coming from every direction you can imagine. I cry out to God. I don't want that. I want to commune with you. And as we get a little older, I suppose there's some here that would agree with this. Keep our eyes shut, solid all night, and sleep a restful sleep isn't always easy. Brother Ken has been dear to us as a family, as a congregation. And there's been times when I'd wake up and I would ask the Lord to help me to remain awake. And I would think about Ken, think about the Lord, his mercy and his goodness. And I'd pray for him. And I've been blessed that I've been able to do that. There's times, yes, the enemy comes and tries to disturb that. But this morning, may we somehow recognize the privilege and the blessing that we have to be children of God and to be still and know God. Turn with me to Psalm 63. Verses 1 through 11. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee with while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. There shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. A number of years ago, I was a widow's son, and we sold our place. We bought a lot across the road from some dear people, and it was just my mother and I, and we had the neighbors there, had a young son. He was 12 years old, and he came over me numerous times to help me do things. I was just 20 years old. And the day came when he got married. He married Brother Joe, Bishop here's sister. But even before that, there was evidence that he was a godly young man. He told me one day, he said, you know, when you can go to bed, as the scripture here says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, he said, when you can go to bed at night and you can draw your mind to God and have peace, that's a blessing. But he said, can you think of your activities that you were involved in and then still have peace? Or do we have to get on our knees and confess to God our sin? He will forgive us, rest assured. But that was a blessing to me, that young lad giving me his testimony that way. And this morning, I'm not going to give you a lot of suggestions here, but I believe we are responsible for what we feed our mind, what we read, what we partake of, what our eyes behold. We are responsible to God. And I believe this morning, God wants us to be still. It may be turning off the radio. We say, you know, TV, that's not a problem for us. But I'm telling you one thing this morning, I am concerned about what we call a computer. It's not wrong in itself, but do we know how to control it? Do we know how to, you know, someone has said computer, you know, has gigo, garbage in, garbage out. That's what happens. What about your music? What about your advertisings? What about a lot of stuff? Be still and know that I'm God. I know less about, well, maybe I can't say that either, but I know very little about a computer. But I like to get a few emails, words of encouragement. I'm not able to send them. But Brother Ken stopped in one day and set up my computer so that I could look at his writings and what other people write about his case, his court case. And most of the time, I can't get everything I want. The other day, I managed to get on again. And then it was the time when he was before the Supreme Court, and he had to answer, and he refused to talk. Then he was put in jail, and then the judge said, we'll bring you back a week later and see if you're ready to give us answers like we want. But it was during that time, a lot of people were praying for Ken, and a lot of people were sending little notes. I forget how many countries it was that I read. I sat there and cried as I read a lot of those statements. And churches that don't know Ken said, at the beginning of our morning service, we're praying for you. And then there was one. This has been since I had decided to preach this message here this morning. From a Mark A. Strite, just in the United States. It's So he's somewhere here in the United States. I don't know who he is, but this is what he wrote. He said, "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways, lead to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God does undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. The waves and winds shall know his voice who ruled when he dwelt below." Turn with me to Psalm 46, if you would. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. He utters his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Shall we kneel before the Lord in prayer?